Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Today is the day the Lord has made. The ultimate authority gave us a gift is another day. And it's a day to act as service to others, to grow ourselves, and to grow closer to Him. The ultimate authority. There is a huge difference between that authority and the appeal to authority, which is of all the things in the age of the biggest lies we've ever seen. The Russia lie, the Ukraine lie, the peaceful riots lie, the mask lie, the COVID is the walking dead, it's the zombie apocalypse lie. In the era of lies, the appeal to authority is what makes me most concerned. Because when you are saying, when you have the authority saying, listen to me, why? Because I have a title on my name. Listen to me because I've got a title on my name. Or you have implied authority, like the national media has implied authority. You know, when people get on TV, there's an implied authority. You know, those ads, as seen on TV. Those were focus group. People figured out in advertising that folks said, oh, I saw that on TV, therefore it has some veracity, right? I can trust that. Hence the big orange stickers on infomercial products that you see in the malls. As seen on TV. Oh, that was on TV. Therefore, that thing you put between your knees and, you know, stretch, that'll take all the fat off the thighs, right? The Suzanne Summers thing, right? That's part and parcel of appeal to authority. An appeal to authority is being used in the vote fraud case, right? Cases. Right, and that's different than COVID cases, obviously. But the effort is to try to get this into the Supreme Court. It's a very narrow window. The Supreme Court may turn it down. They may not hear any of these cases. If that's the case, the Supreme Court will have destroyed the United States of America. At that point, there is no coming back. This country will be inexorably changed. It will be forever altered. And in the worst possible way, you will cement in people's minds, this can't be trusted, and there's no justice, and there's no courts. And you do that, you have ended the American experiment. It's over. And it might not be in the next 4 years, but it's over. So this appeal to authority stuff drives me nuts. And thank goodness there's some heroes. Scott Atlas was one such hero. You never heard Scott Atlas. Scott Atlas, you'll hear in the media that he's resigned from the White House. And that's true. You know what else? If you read this and you know the details. Scott Atlas said, hey, I'm not going to do this forever. I'll do this for 130 days. I have no interest in working in government. His 130 days is up about 2 weeks into his resignation. He's given a 2 week notice or a week's notice. He already planned to resign. Scott Atlas is an American hero. Dr. Atlas spoke truth in the face of what I say, and I will stand by this with anybody, is the biggest global lie in history. And it's not that there's no virus. There is a virus. In fact, there's more evidence now that the virus was in the United States in December of last year. December of last year. How do we know? Blood samples. Blood samples. 2% of people had already had the COVID flu. It's interesting that you weren't told to panic in December of last year. No one said, hey, panic, the COVID's here. 2% of people in this blood test, these blood tests, they went back into the archives, had the antibodies to the COVID flu. So that's Atlas, who stood to see his career ruined. And you never heard Atlas say, listen to me, I'm a doctor. I was the 20-year head of neuron radiology at Stanford University. I'm a medical professor. I'm published. He never said that. He said, here's the numbers. Kids are not at material risk from the COVID flu. Here's the numbers. This affects. He went through the numbers. He went to published science. people have T-cell and crossover immunity against this. He was a hero, is a hero. And of course, he was attacked for that because in the era of big lies, you can't go out and speak to established scientific fact. Likewise, Representative Mike Kelly and Sean Parnell in Pennsylvania are going to appeal the loss to that clown court in Pennsylvania. This is about the mail-in ballots where the governor overstepped his authority, clearly overstepped his constitutional authority. And the clown court in Pennsylvania, according to Mark Levin, who's read this decision in detail, and you know Mark's a great lawyer, what they said is, oh, you filed too late. Yeah, I mean, it's probably unconstitutional, and it probably swayed an election for president of the United States, but you complained too late. So, yeah, we're not going to go ahead and say no to your case because you weren't timely. Because, of course, there is a statute of limitations on realizing that it was fraud, which I'd seen someone say online, which is very, very bright. That's okay. So if someone, Scott Adams, if someone breaks into your house, but you wait to figure out if they're a robber before you shoot them, and then you shoot them, you're guilty because they weren't robbers because you waited to determine if they're robbers. So they're appealing to the United States Supreme Court. We'll see how that goes. Meanwhile, let's run through this appeal to authority around vote fraud, that there's no evidence. Let's you and I go through. Let's piece apart the appeal to authority that's being used piece by piece, grounded in facts.
We have a president who's really fixated on using the pandemic to deny the people the right to vote. You know, it's sort of an extension of what happened in earlier Jim Crow eras. And the president's lies about our voting system are just that, and they're unacceptable, and they should not stand. Washington State is a beacon of light in this regard because we have demonstrated to the country that an open, accessible, efficient, legitimate all-mail ballot works.
Did you hear all of that? 100% appeal to authority. He didn't tell us why. They will never mention the Rossi Gregoire stuff. They'll never mention Shama Sawant's surprise comeback, where she had lost and then surprise, 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 came back. So let's start with this observation. Part of this is, when you are saying trust the authorities, part of it is, look, the Democrat, and I've heard this, look, we can't demonize our political opponents. I agree. Let's not demonize. We can't demonize them. To say that they stole this is a very serious charge. It is. It is a serious charge. So let's do a little bit of character analysis. Are they thieves? Is there mass thievery or is there sponsorship of thievery in the Democrat Party, in the Democrat mainstream? I give you Exhibit A. The West Coast of the United States of America. Release the felons because there's a flu. I give you the United States of America, West Coast. People like heroin Dan Satterberg, the so-called King County prosecutor, has announced on public radio. He bragged. He will not charge an illegal immigrant with drunk driving because he says it's unfair. He'll charge you, but not an illegal immigrant. I give you the West Coast. The Speaker of the House in Oregon, her legislative aide is Antifa. She's been arrested at Antifa riots. Andy Ngo has documented this. Antifa runs... Oh, legislative director. Antifa runs the legislative agenda of the Democrat Oregon Speaker of the House, a domestic terror group, runs that. They have performed political executions in the streets. And there is no concern from the Mockingbird media about political executions in the streets. There is no concern in California. You have blatant lawlessness. Gavin Newsom slapping down a curfew as he goes out and eats in fancy restaurants. Black Lives Matter is free to run wild, encouraging the assassination attempts of officers and getting that. And in Seattle, the crown jewel of lawlessness. What's gone on? As we examine the character of the Democrats. Okay, so part of the appeal to authority is, come on, they wouldn't do that. Don't demonize your political opponents. So I'm not. I am analyzing their character by their actions, and it seems to me they're tied to thievery. So what about the crowned city of anarchy? Seattle, get to that in 60 seconds after a quick look at traffic. So examining the behaviors and the character of Democrats, because part of the objection people have to concentrating on vote fraud, demanding it go to the Supreme Court, is, are you really saying that a candidate for a major political party, are we really saying Joe Biden would steal? Well, Joe Biden couldn't steal a candy bar from the middle of the desert with no one watching. So we're not saying Biden did anything. Biden is a non-entity, right, in terms of strategy, etc. He is a demented old man. And I'm not saying that to be cruel. Dementia is a cruel disease. I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm being descriptive. So if you're looking at the behaviors and the character of Democrats, I'm establishing that they are pro-crime. They're pro-chaos. They display lawlessness in their behaviors in the states they own. They don't care about the law. They don't care about law and order. They don't care about crime. Case in point, Jason Rantz, our afternoon host, 3 to 6 p.m. here in KTTH, was on Fox News talking about this phenomenon. In the midst of defund the police, which means destroy the police, which is driven by the left coast's base, Joe Biden's base, we don't want cops. We don't want prisons. We want criminals to run wild. But we want thought criminals like Trump supporters in prison for bad think. In the midst of this, Seattle has the highest homicide rates in a decade.
Seattle, in the months after George Floyd's death from June to October, violent crime is up more than 3% compared to last year. Aggravated assaults up. What really striking, though, murders. Murders up 79%. So when we talk about trimming the budget of the police force, does it make the community less safe? And what does it mean for officers that are out there?
Well, absolutely, it makes the community less safe, and it makes the officers feel as if they're not valued, in particular with the elected officials at the council level.
So that's the head of the Seattle Police Department union on Fox News. So on a character basis, can we all establish that Democrats in Democrat-run states are lawless people? Sideshow Bob, the part-time attorney general, full-time seeker of campaign glory in Washington state, himself in all likelihood committed 3 campaign finance felonies. Jay Inslee, the so-called governor of Washington state, lost $500 million to Nigerian scammers. Only now the media here is talking about the fact that that investigation has been hindered by apparently Susie Levine, who pretends to run that department, employment security. And you can go down the line in West Coast cities, lawlessness. In fact, it's not just West Coast cities. Minnesota, Democrats in Minneapolis said, hey, we don't want cops. Cops are gone. And then they hired themselves private security, some of them. All right. So I've established the character of the Democrat Party in states they run. Lawlessness, as long as it benefits them. Now, the next thing that people are asking us to believe in this appeal to authority is, well, Chris Krebs, He was a public servant. And he worked in our cybersecurity at the federal government level. And he said, this is the most secure election in history. Oh, he said that. Oh, okay. Why was it 2019 when the media was talking about Dominion software and machines being vulnerable to hacking? Why is that? Why were they saying that then? Why is the same media not coming back and saying, well, wait, we warned you about this? That's one of the tricks of media, is you remind people, hey, I told you, right? We warned you about Dominion servers. They all did. NBC did. PBS did. The New York Times did. Those pieces have disappeared. So in the, are we really saying that Joe Biden would, no, we're saying that his party is pro-criminal. If it benefits them, we've established that. Now we're going to be told, no, it's impossible. Chris Krebs, he said it was a secure election. So this is the problem with appeal to authority. Chris Krebs is a lawyer. Well, here's a witness at the event in Arizona where they went through the evidence of vote fraud in Arizona. And a reminder, the two state lawmakers, that's in Pennsylvania. This is in Arizona. Here's an expert. Here's an authority. Here's what he says.
So my vote is only as good as the integrity of Dominion and all the hackers that exist that can get into the Dominion machine.
Your vote is not as secure as your Venmo account.
Pardon me? Say that one more time.
Your vote is not as secure as your Venmo account.
That's an authority. Gentleman's an expert in cybersecurity. Authority versus authority. Chris Krebs versus him. Oh, well, Chris Krebs is a public servant. Oh, so the same sort of public servant who says masks don't work, masks work. 2 weeks to stop this or to flatten the curve, then add another week. Oh, it's safe to riot, but it's not safe to go to schools or churches. That sort of authority. So there was opportunity. Oh, you don't believe this? Oh, okay. Well, what if we go all the way back to 2016? What if I remove the specter of the 2020 race in Orange Man Bad? What if I remove that? And what if we go back to 2016 and let's just go to a techie event? Let's just go to the Institute for Critical Infrastructure Technology in San Francisco. This is way back in October 2016. Talking about Dominion and Dominion type vote counting methods.
Dominion systems, simple authentication that can be popped and you go as a customer to view or manipulate data from the portal side, which includes tabulated results.
Yeah, and it just comes down to getting into the website, brute force, SQL injection, getting into the network, stealing credentials, mapping the network, gaining intelligence. I think this is Arizona election website was breached this way.
Oh, Arizona,
you say?
So this has
already happened. So script kiddies always learn from what's already worked. So they'll mimic this breach.
Oh, so in Arizona, that happened. They breached the system in Arizona with Dominion? Oh, so this has happened in Arizona in 2016. But it's impossible. It's the most secure election in history. And authority said so. There's no opportunity. It can't be done. Except it was done in 2016. According to those three experts. Then there's this. As they're telling us this appeal to authority. How many of us in Washington state, a forced mail-in voting state, said, you know, this is how they steal, right? How many of us said when they were pretending it was dangerous to vote in person, that all the children, all the people would die from the Walking Dead flu if people voted in person? How many of us said, you know, this is the way they're going to steal it, right? Here's what Rudy Giuliani, an expert, a former federal prosecutor said, a career public servant. Rudy Giuliani.
The key fraud is the mail-in ballot. That was the backup in case they fell too far behind. That's why they cut off the vote at midnight, 1 o'clock, when President Trump was getting too far ahead, particularly in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, in Wisconsin, and also in Pennsylvania.
Yep. Rand Paul points out. Trump lost his lead between 1:30 in the morning and 6:30 in the morning after they had, quote unquote, stopped all the counting. So the appeal to authority thing, the appeal to the good nature of Joe Biden and the Democrats, no, no, No. Their character is pro-criminal. If it benefits them, they have no problem breaking the law to the point of seeing cities burned down and political assassinations in the street. They have no problem leveraging a flu for election purposes. Their character speaks to this. There was obviously opportunity. It has happened before these systems being been breached. I'm not going to back off my demand that this go to the Supreme Court, because it is my firm belief if it does not, you will have the Supreme Court and the people who did this will have inexorably changed the United States into a country that cannot sustain itself over time. It's that serious. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show. Thanks for listening to the Todd Herman Show. Appreciate you. Text line is 800-465-8770. You can email me, therman@ktth.com. As we continue to piece apart the era of the massive lie that we're living through, it is a phenomenal thing to behold. And this is, again, in a continuing series of trying my very best to relate to people who don't see things the way I do. And I was cautioned about this this weekend by a friend of mine who I respect in radio about, hey, are you being sensitive to audiences that are not completely with you on this? So I'm trying my very best to be sensitive in this arena. So being sensitive to people who will say, look, the authorities are doing the best they can with COVID. So let's not demonize the authorities. Okay, well, let's just examine that. Let's examine. My point of view is this. There is a top-down, agenda-driven push to make the COVID flu seem as terrifying as humanly possible. I believe it's being driven by Big Pharma. I believe it's being driven by technocrats. And someone yesterday in the text line said, can you define technocrat? I don't know what it means. Don't know what it means. Yes. Technocrats are the ultimate appeals to authority. What a technocrat is this. I am smarter than you, so let me make all your decisions. I have a PhD, so let me determine how you live your life. That's technocrats in a nutshell. And they embody, we found out, so-called public health. So I believe technocrats and Big Pharma are pushing us to a global change. And I point as evidence to the World Economic Forum. Okay, and this is where a lot of people say that's complete conspiracy. 1 year ago, I would have said, yeah, come on. The World Economic Forum, it's a bunch of weirdo rich people who get together and fantasize about what they want to do to the world. They want to force you to eat, not kelp, but algae. They want you to eat algae instead of chicken. And they want to try to force these changes and con these changes and regulate them into place. Okay. A year ago, I would have said, yeah, come on. It's weirdo rich people. Except those weirdo rich people have Joe Biden using their branding. BuildBackBetter.gov. Except they've got they've got Boris Johnson using their branding. They've got the so-called president of Ireland using their branding. Build Back Better. The world's economic system is broken. The pandemic has proven it's broken. They're pushing lockdowns at the same time as they're saying it's savage. Our economic system is savage. I point to that as evidence of, okay, they're coordinating with these bosses of countries. And it's not arguable. These are World Economic Forum talking points. It's not arguable. Now, to the point of making it seem worse, this is a constant refrain from the so-called authorities. Testing, testing. We got to do more testing. This is Admiral Brett Gore.
Yes, doing enough on testing. We're doing everything we can possibly do on testing. We would like to see testing increase. Because of the asymptomatic spread, we would ultimately like to get to a point in time where we do a lot more asymptomatic testing.
Okay, let's stop right there. There's no such thing as asymptomatic spread. It is not a factor. This has been known for 6 months. How do we know? Because of children in schools. How do we know? because of study, peer-reviewed study after peer-reviewed study that's in my COVID fact sheet. You can read them yourself. How do we know? Fauci himself has said asymptomatic transmission is not a factor. It's not a driving factor. That admiral, there's two options. He forgot asymptomatic transmission is not a thing, or he's stupid, or he's lying. Is there another option? He disagrees with me. Okay, how? There are no studies showing asymptomatic transmission is a factor. None. And it makes sense. If you don't have enough virus in your body to be symptomatic, you don't have enough to spread around. It's very much like having dirt on your shirt. I've said this before. If you have a little bit of dirt on your shirt, which everybody does, you don't know it. You can't spread that much dirt. You don't have enough viral load to hand on. In Elaine's language from Seinfeld, you don't have a spare to square, or square to spare. Remember that? So now to the testing that we need to do. Test, test, test. $10 billion on tests that now, according to a paper from 18 scientists, life scientists, internationally known scientists, 18 co-authors of a peer-reviewed paper. One of the stars of this is Michael Yeadon. Michael Yeadon had been the vice president of research. Research. At Pfizer. He's a biochemist who worked in big pharma at the biggest level. He's one of these authors. They have written a peer-reviewed paper describing the PCR tests as fatally flawed. Quote, renders the test useless. How is it that I know this? I have read this paper. My wife has read this paper. But this admiral is blind to this? Okay, this is new information. Fair enough. Fair enough. He's very busy. He's not a talk show host. He's very busy. Fair enough. What about the five-month-old or four-month-old paper from the New York Times indicating that PCR tests deliver 90% false positives? What about that? But the tests continue. So being sensitive to listeners who are saying, well, Todd, let's be kind to the public officials. Help me. Help me here. He's unaware of the modern science and he hasn't read this New York Times piece. Well, how about this? In deaths, there's a sample of 1,380 admissions with COVID-19. Sample, just a snapshot in time. Of the 640 people who died of it, 89% of them already knew they were dying. They were sick enough that they had said to their family members, do not resuscitate me if I code. If I'm dying, let me go. They were sick enough to say, just let me die. Just please let me die. But the deaths. Every possible lever that can be pushed or pulled or knob turned is all turned up to 11 to make the COVID flu seem worse than it is. That's my contention, and I stand by my evidence. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show. A lot of people are more patient than I am. I mean, I have no patience for authoritarianism. I have no patience for appeals to authority. And that comes from way early back. I've shared on personal notes with you how I came to that experience as a young kid. I saw way too much of that in school in really destructive ways with some like truly bad, some people who shouldn't have been spending time with kids. And, well, I'm the authority. So this is something where I'm very squared away in my beliefs on this. And there is going to be, it's happening now, a massive decision for society. And it's not just the vote fraud. And when I start to say that, I realize I just said, it's not just the vote fraud. Think of that. Well, it's not just the vote fraud. I mean, there's the... there's the vote fraud, but it's not just that. And that's an absurd thing to say. Well, aside from the vote fraud, I mean, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? It's that cliched. But if you look at the totality of what this country, and I'm using this phrase on purpose, has been put through by the authorities. It's not passive. It's not what this country's gone through. No, there are active players. The active players in the FBI who put this country through the tumult and division of a massive lie that Donald Trump was a Russian spy. They did that to us. They did that to your neighbors. They're the same sorts of authorities who are destroying families, telling little kids, hey, if you're a girl and you don't like it, you're probably a boy. Here's some shots from Big Pharma and Planned Parenthood. Same authorities putting families through that. Same authorities. Right? Not always the same people, although in this case they are the same people, putting racism back into schools. Right? Flipping it on its head and saying, admit you're racist or you're a racist. In little kids' schools. This is being done to people. This isn't rising up through the air as, you know, some kind of excellent. It's not an aerialized thought virus. Right? This isn't miasma. This is being done actively. People are installing this in society. And here's the massive decision. Whose side are you on? Is it the people who are doing to you or not? And if they continue to do to you, do you push back? And sometimes push back. I mean, sometimes it's glorious. Sometimes it's scary. Sometimes it risks everything. And sometimes, man, sometimes it's this game. Baby, if you stand, see nothing yet. There's something you never forget. You know, you're just. So a gym owner back in New York or New Jersey decided that, hey, listen, I'm going to show you how I keep my business opened. And he refuses to buckle under the COVID diktats, the medically useless deadly lockdowns.
I'm going to simplify it. Three easy things you just have to be aware of, okay? The first thing is to expect resistance and expect nonsense. Cops may come, sheriffs may come, health department may come. County, whatever, expect them to come, expect them to give you a hard time. They may even hit you with some fines, they may try to give you a citation. You'll be able to fight that in court. Second thing, very, very important, you need clearly marked on the doors and on the windows of your business this sign right here. And basically, it is a notice to any government official if they are here on government duty, they are not permitted access to our business without a warrant. Plain and simple, okay? Put your phone number on it. And tell them that they cannot come in. If they call and they are present, you can meet them outside and discuss whatever business it is outside of the property. You do not have to let them in without a warrant. Don't let them in without a warrant. Third step is real simple. Open your business.
He swings open the doors to this massive gym he's got. And there's people streaming out. They're clearly ready to pop out, right, and be on camera, etc. He also makes the point that being in court is better than being a sitting duck as they hand these fines out to you. That's one method. Another business in California, it's a strip mall barbecue joint. I love strip mall barbecue joints. I'm not downing it. In fact, there's some fantastic strip mall barbecue joints in Santa Monica, in the Santa Monica Beach area. And this may be one of those. They're not shutting down. And what have they done is they've taken a banner that they had printed and they put it over their sign. It's like Mike's Barbecue Joint. And they've stretched across it the phrase French Laundry. Does that sound familiar? The French Laundry? Yeah, that's the restaurant where Gavin Newsom took health, or I don't know who took who, but where Gavin Newsom was with so-called healthcare lobbyists, unmasked, eating dinner with a $16,000 bar tab. 16 grand. That's just the bar tab for like 12 people, completely unmasked. So he's saying, hey, look, I'm not closing. The French Laundry is still open. I'm still open. So the choice people have is, do you stand on the side of the people doing to you or not? Because the United States is being done to. That's another contention I hold and will stand by. This is a fresh round of Seattle Spirit in the offing. We'll talk about, again, the election. And there's more. Just every time I do research for the COVID, I think, like I was telling Alex, I think all the COVID stuff's done. No, this morning, there's more to back up my point on this. It's an everlasting gobstopper of doing unto people in terrible ways. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show.